I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Chris Vaughn. He's the CEO of MJ, and he's also the founder at Saucy. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Absolutely. For everybody that's listening now and tuning in, MJ actually delivers premium cannabis, flowers, vapes, pre-rolls, edibles, concentrates, and all sorts of accessories straight to your doorstep. They're based in LA. And, you know, really excited to have you on the show, Chris. And, you know, it's really exciting because you kind of have two businesses on the delivery side. You've got MJ, you know, really focusing on cannabis. And then you have Saucy that's focusing on alcohol delivery. And you've been doing this for quite some time. So maybe kind of, Chris, kick us off and, you know, give us a little background on, you know, what led you into the delivery space.
Sure. Well, you know, I'd say close to a decade ago, we had the idea for starting Saucy. And really it came about because you could have almost anything you want delivered to your door, but you seemingly couldn't have alcohol delivered and thought that based on how people purchase in the category, that was very unusual. That, you know, if you look at the brick and mortar landscape of the beverage alcohol market in the US, it is massive. And it's been built that way to match a particular type of buying behavior, which is predominantly impulse driven, unplanned purchases. And you know, we got started in late 2013, launched in early 2014, May of 2014. Today, Saucy's in a little over 1,000 cities across the country. We do a lot of work with the big alcohol conglomerates on helping them better understand what people are doing at retail and what they're purchasing and buying. And it's been a tremendous and wild ride from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I think what got us so interested in cannabis honestly came from people asking us to come into the space. And so that started with customers, Saucy customers asking if we'd ever do cannabis. That started with certain operators in the California market asking if we'd come in as a delivery alternative. And so we started spending a lot of time in, call it 2016, 2017, looking at the opportunity in cannabis. And I think what instantly stood out to us coming from the alcohol world was a few things. In alcohol, our largest competition as a delivery player is the store, because there are so many places where you can purchase alcohol: gas stations, grocery stores, liquor stores, corner markets, whatever it may be. And in cannabis, when we looked at, you know, the largest cannabis market in the world, California, at the time you only had a couple hundred retailers in the whole state. You know, I mean, just in LA, we have over 4,500 liquor stores. I think the other thing that was fascinating is that a big uphill battle for us in Saucy was always educating people that you could have alcohol delivered. And that was a very much a new purchasing behavior for people. We're letting people know and then getting them to try it and then, you know, sort of inch our way into their purchasing behavior. But when you actually looked at the cannabis market, and particularly the illicit market, around that time they started really, you know, shutting a lot of the trap shops and the illegal shops. So you have this giant industry where the majority of purchasing is done via delivery, right? Like your drug dealer will come bring it to you. Right. So it wasn't a new behavior. So I said, okay, this is a massive opportunity. The brick and mortar infrastructure is very limited. The majority of purchasing happens via delivery anyway today. And then the last piece that was fascinating is that you could own your own infrastructure, your own licenses, and even back to the point of producing products, which was very different than U.S. alcohol. In alcohol, you have a three-tier system. You can either be a brand manufacturer or a distributor or a retailer. But if you have holdings in one, you can't participate in the other. But that's not how a lot of the big alcohol conglomerates work overseas or in China or in Brazil, where they run much more of a vertical operation. And it was fascinating to see that in cannabis, you could own not only your own licenses and infrastructure, but even back to the point of where you create products. And so we actually started by doing a license of Saucy's logistical infrastructure and technology to Cannabis. And then call it at the beginning of 2020, we decided to put everything sort of under one parent company and start operating what is now known as MJ. Mm-hmm. We started with one location in LA. And since then, I've expanded, and a lot of our time and focus has been lining up a lot of the infrastructure for us to grow throughout California.
And Chris, from a consumer standpoint, like, how are people finding out about you guys?
So I think we're still very early in our growth trajectory. You know, we haven't done a lot of the big marketing campaigns that like an Ease has done, or we haven't blanketed cities and billboards or done any of that stuff yet. A lot of what we've just been focused on is how do we build a very healthy, highly retentive customer base. And so we focus a lot on friend referral. We focus a lot on just retention and how we get customers and turn them into advocates for the platform. And then we've done a lot of sort of fun guerrilla marketing and guerrilla tactics to get our name out there. But I'd say compared to some of the other players and compared to how quickly we've grown, we've spent very little on marketing so far. I think what's fascinating about that is if you look at pretty much any other industry and you look at the early growth years of a company, whether it's like DoorDash or GoPuff or Saucy or whatever it may be, so much of that early growth is just done on Facebook or YouTube or Google Ads. And it's pretty crazy how much we've grown in basically 24 months without even having access to those channels. Compared to if you were to launch a business in sort of any other sector, you know, those would be sort of your initial go-tos. And I think over the next 18 to 24 months, now that Apple allows apps in the App Store and these sort of major media changes have happened, I think that a lot of those channels will start to become available. And that will obviously be most advantageous for people like a delivery company.
Chris, have you found, obviously, you know, during COVID and, you know, this kind of, well, not post-COVID, but, you know, COVID, post-COVID, COVID, whatever you want to call it, right? I've just noticed that, at least from like a delivery perspective, there's just, you know, the gig economy, if you will, of everyone kind of out there, you know, whether it's, you know, you guys or Ease or Weedmaps or Postmates or Uber Eats, like there's such a crazy amount of people out there delivering products because people have become so accustomed to being home. And, you know, obviously the convenience of, you know, firing up an app and choosing what you want and then it shows up on your doorstep. Like, have you seen an influx of people that want to do deliveries, you know, for, you know, as a job, especially in the last just, you know, year to two?
Yeah. Well, I mean, delivery as a category is it just absolutely exploding and the growth is going to continue meaningfully. And a big reason for that too is, again, if you think of like brick and mortar competition, if I'm a retailer and I compete in brick and mortar, so much of what makes me competitive is just where my locations are. Right. And so as a customer, you know, everyone's fighting for my attention, but if you just drive around a city, like there's gajillions of options of where you can go buy food or buy groceries or clothing or whatever it may be. But when you centralize that experience all down to a customer's phone and then their house or their apartment, all of a sudden that competition becomes extremely fierce because it's not about, hey, I have a store every 20 minutes throughout the city, or I have a store in a nice shopping facility or kind of in a convenient area. And most of my customers will come from sort of a 20-minute radius. But now it's, I'm fighting for your attention to be on your phone and at your door. And you don't need hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of options for that. You really just need a few that deliver the things that you want and do it well and reliably. And so I think delivery as a job, if you want to be a delivery driver or in the industry, dispatch, customer success, operations, warehousing, everything else is going to continue to grow at a tremendous pace. But I think what's interesting, when you think of the future of brick and mortar retail versus the future of delivery, delivery has a lot more consolidation. You know, retail's challenging. I don't know an industry other than maybe cannabis where people are opening more and more retailers. Right. And in many ways, just think of what you're building for. You know, we think a lot about this at MJ, where, you know, alcohol prohibition ended in the 1930s. So how do you serve customers best in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s? You build stores everywhere. Mm-hmm. With cannabis prohibition ending now, what are you going to build for a customer in 2022? Are you going to go build brick and mortar retail all over the place? When you look at their how their buying behavior is starting to trend in any other shopping category in their life, mm-hmm. I think you need to be thinking digital first. You need to be thinking of ways that you can be on that phone or their other devices and how you interact with them in a digital first experience. And you can back that up with retail and brick and mortar, but I don't think that that can be your forefront experience.
Yeah, I almost feel like with, you know, obviously not for your business, but for, you know, delivery, I mean, everybody that I know, including myself, you know, it's just like we are just, we order, we want it. We, you know, if it's obviously cannabis or alcohol, we want it like, you know, within the hour. But if we're ordering something on Amazon, like, you know, we can get it in the same day, but it's also like really a 24-hour turnaround. But just imagine the amount of waste with the boxes, right? So I feel like, you know, every single opportunity we have to innovate, right, with technology and speed also comes a new innovation. I almost feel like somebody, I'm sure someone's doing this right now, but like there should be some type of product that we can, I don't know, bamboo or something that is going to replace corrugated boxes or, you know, boxes in particular, because I just, I when I'm driving too, and I live out in Long Island, but, when I'm in the neighborhood and everything, I see so many people on garbage days with like 150 boxes from like a week's delivery, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like from this, you know, technology boom and innovation, there's probably some other innovations that are going to come up, you know, to help us there too. But I do find it fascinating just the entire delivery business. You know, I was in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago and by the way, congrats on growing to San Francisco in your footprint. And, you know, I had used a delivery service for, you know, cannabis to my hotel. And it was so fast. I was like, I mean, literally it was something like 16 minutes, which was amazing. Like that's like lightning fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's crazy for me in cannabis delivery versus alcohol is sort of the prioritization of needs that you see from the customer. In alcohol, speed is kind of everything because you're usually serving an unplanned moment. You know, I know I'm going to have dinner tonight. I don't know if I'm going to feel like having beer or wine or something, or maybe nothing at all. And a lot of times it sort of comes about as this moment like, oh yeah, I'd like wine, or I'd like beer, or I'd like, you know, vodka or whatever. And then you order. And because there are so many places you can buy, if we don't get it to you quickly, you really might as well have just gone out and gotten it yourself. In cannabis, that is not the case, right? Now, if I live in like West Hollywood, sure, there's dispensaries all over the place. But in most of LA, if I want something, I can't just go drive to a dispensary that's readily available to me and just pick it up super quick. Plus, you have the check-in experience and all these other factors. And so, yeah, delivery is important. But we find that, you know, selection, pricing, a couple other things are higher priorities than speed in cannabis. And I think depending on the type of product someone's shopping for, we almost see people shop for cannabis more like how they purchase groceries than how they buy alcohol, if that makes sense, in terms of purchase frequency and cadence and cart size and all those types of things.
I feel like too, Chris, it's like, and I know that a lot of people shared this very similar reaction, but I feel like, you know, when going online and, you know, picking out certain things, I mean, it's a very fun process, right? Of, well, I think one, reading reviews and, you know, you're very much, it's a different experience than going and talking to a budtender, right? But actually going online and perusing all the different products and saying, okay, you know, I need this for sleep and I need this for, you know, maybe uplifting on the weekend, or I need this CBD infused with THC for relaxing, whatever it might be. And then when it comes, right, it's kind of exciting. It's like, you know, a little presents for yourself. And, you know, maybe you can give us a little bit of, you know, talk to us about the, I guess, the packaging experience of when it's delivered. Like, I know a lot of different delivery services have their own kind of look and feel and premium bags and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, how do you guys deliver?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we focus heavily on that piece of the experience, particularly because, you know, all the drivers are team members. They're W-2 employees, right? Mm-hmm. And so we lean into that heavily compared to, you know, if you're just going to have a Postmate driver or an Uber driver or DoorDash courier or whoever show up at your door, that experience is highly variable, right? You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes they just eat your burrito and leave you with nothing. Okay. But in cannabis, because, you know, it's by law, everyone's a W-2 employee, we lean heavily into driver training and engagement and weekly report cards and feedback and really making that a key part of the experience, so that when you meet that person, it feels different and elevated above deliveries that may take place in other categories in your life. Of course, we have nice bags and nice packaging and all those types of things as well. But I agree. Think about this. What's crazy about cannabis is, if I walk into a liquor store or a grocery store, all those products are made from all different types of things, right? You know, wheat, grain, rice, potatoes, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. In cannabis, all those products are derived from a single item, which is flower, right? It's the cannabis plant. And it creates all these different form factors and all these different things that people are trying it, and has different effects on their body. That's pretty spectacular when you think of any sort of consumer packaged goods category. Usually it is made from all sorts of different ingredients. But in cannabis, all of it comes back to just one plant. And I think that the other wild part about that is what you mentioned, which is then that one plant can have so many different types of effects on people. You know, when people drink alcohol, it generally heads in one direction. You get buzzed or inebriated, then drunk, then whatever. In cannabis, it has been mind-blowing to watch what people come in to buy products for. You know, executives that take certain products to calm out their ADHD or ADD and to be able to focus. Athletes that come in that are basically like, if I didn't smoke weed, I'd completely be addicted to opioids from the stuff we put our bodies through. Mm-hmm. Elderly people, for any sort of arthritis or medical reasons that they may be coming by a store or ordering delivery from us. Full-blown recreational, like I just want to get super high. You know, it is all over the place. And all of that comes back to just the production of one plant. That's pretty wild when you think of CPG in any industry, what that sort of means for cannabis.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, but, you know, Chris, I did want to say that, you know, when I was kind of going through your site and just kind of playing around with everything, I think the overall usability is, it's so clean and easy. And I think I've used a lot of sites before, especially for delivery, where it's just, there's so much going on and it's very clunky. And I just really like the just very clean, dialed in experience. And you guys have so many great products too to choose from. So it's almost like I felt like a kid in a candy store. So, you know, kudos to you and your team for just kind of keeping that, you know, kind of beautiful and clean and up to date and just a good experience for the consumer. You guys know what you're doing.
Well, those are very kind words that'll go straight to the team. They work really hard on that, and Yeah, no, we try and deliver, you know, a very simple, clean experience for the end customer. And, you know, we're always chasing our own tail. We got a long ways to go, but I mean, fundamentally, I think that customers in vice industries are somewhat ignored. They aren't delivered beautiful experiences because you don't have a lot of the best players in the world serving those categories yet. And so when you think of cannabis, you know, the average cannabis customer for years, whether it's retail or delivery, has had a very subpar shopping experience relative to what they'd expect in any other category in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what we're trying to do is how do we elevate cannabis to not just be on par, but one of the best shopping experiences you have, whether you're buying groceries, buying clothes, buying whatever. And that comes down to like the experience design, that comes down to the driver training, that comes down to what we can do with people in store. Cause we're an omni-channel operator at our core. It's one of the, I think it's important because it's one of the things that'll help move the industry forward faster than anything else. Mm-hmm.
So Chris, before we break, one quick, you know, update here. So you were on Jimmy Kimmel last summer. Talk to us about that. How was it? What'd you talk about? How'd it happen?
Man, we had done a few different sort of internship postings for people to write product reviews. We're trying to bring in a lot more reviews around our products, and one of them just got picked up by his show, and someone from his show emailed me, and I thought it was a joke at first. He's like, "Hey, I'm from Jimmy Kimmel. Do you have a couple minutes to chat?" And we just jumped on a call. And he said, "You know, this thing came across, you know, our desk, and we thought it was hilarious, and we'd love to, you know, maybe do like a Zoom call." And so I had a call with the producers, and we were going to have it be like a Zoom in thing. And they said, "Nope, let's build a whole set. And can you send us a couple boxes of MJ stuff?" And in less than 24 hours, they had built a whole mock, you know, MJ office and had all this gear. And then they brought out one of their other former guests who, you know, super, super famous online for rating products and everything. But it was an incredible experience. I think that, you know, the team there is unbelievably kind and nice. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun. And love, I think we're one of the first cannabis companies to probably be featured on late night television. But, you know, our customers enjoyed it, and our team members thought it was, you know, a lot of fun and helped drive some awareness, but more than anything, I think it's all in an effort to just have a good time and show customers we're here having a good time.
Totally. Super fun. Well, Chris, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to come on Alchemy, and, you know, congrats on everything you're working on, and, really appreciate you, and, you know, good luck in your new markets as you head up north to San Fran. And, you know, we'll definitely want to check back in and see how things are going.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
Awesome, Chris.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.